Good evening, everybody. God bless you. We're going to open in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I thoroughly enjoyed having our in-home fellowship Sunday here, seeing so many saints and visiting and praying together, manifesting, eating together, sharing the word. It was very wonderful, and it's needful. It's a necessity of the saints. I know that some of the very government agencies and very people that are all full of themselves think that they can stop it, but actually they can't, and we shouldn't let them. The next time we will get together here in our home for fellowship will be the day of the Super Bowl, which this year is February the 7th, so if you want to mark that on your calendars. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 has a verse of scripture that really sort of characterizes our lives. Verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith," or "we walk by believing, not by sight." This is one verse among many that we could go to that characterizes our lives, because we're believers. That's what we're to do. We believe God. We believe God's word. But to walk by believing, it's can be and often is opposed by sight, or here's sight representing the five senses. You know, what you see isn't always what really is. And we'll see that tonight. What you see can be deceiving. Maybe what you see is factual, but then how you process that information, if by human logic or human wisdom, can bring about some wrong conclusions. And it's certainly our five senses generally don't take into account God, don't take into account spiritual realities. There's a similar verse in the previous chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 18. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are not seen are eternal." Now, the way that we look at these eternal things is via God's word. God's word reveals them to us. But we're being cautioned here not to be conditioned by our senses, not to go by our sight. Oftentimes people are in situations that can seem overwhelming, discouraging, can seem very contrary to our well-being. But then you have to ask yourself the question, what filter am I looking at things through? Is it through the filter of the Word? Is it things that are eternal? Is it the eternal realities of God and His loving kindness towards us? Or is it just simply the facts of a situation, which here are described as being temporal? In other words, they're not going to last, they're going to change. There's a record in the Old Testament that shows this very wonderfully. 2 Kings chapter 6, we go there. 2 Kings chapter 6 is one of the records that involves Elisha. Elisha was the prophet that followed Elijah. He was a disciple of Elijah. Elijah raised him up and then passed the mantle onto Elisha. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp. So these are, you know, these are part of his war plans, part of his logistics of how he's locating his army to war against Israel. Verse 9, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. Now, where did the man of God get that information from? It doesn't specifically tell us, but we know from the overall scope of the word that he was walking with God, and God revealed it to him. It says, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. In other words, many times. So this is very valuable information for the king of Israel, who's involved in a war against Syria. It says, therefore, verse 11, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He knew that the king of Israel was getting intelligence, getting needed information to be able to outflank, outsmart the king of Syria. So he thought that one of his people, one of his close advisors or one of his servants or somebody was a spy giving information to the king of Israel. Verse 12, one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Now, this was not because of a wiretap. This is because of revelation. God was informing the king of Israel of needed information as Elisha spoke word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is. Where is this man of God? Go spy, find out where he is, and I may send and fetch him. That's the Southern translation, send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. So he sent horses, chariots, which state-of-the-art military in that day and time, and a great host. And they came down by night and compassed the city of Dothan, about. Now, from a census point of view, who has the advantage here? The king of Syria has sent a great host and great weaponry and surrounded the city of Dothan basically to catch one guy, Elisha. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. Now, it says, when the servant of the man of God was risen earlier and gone forth. Now, this is talking about he went outside of the city where there were latrines dug to relieve himself, just like human beings do first thing in the morning. But when he gets out there, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Verse 16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, the servant and the man of God is standing there. He's one guy, right? And then Elisha, it makes two. And yet he just saw a great host and horses and chariots that compass the whole city. But the man of God says, look at this. It says, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, by sight, this makes no sense. You'd have to say, this prophet is Looney Tunes, right? I mean, but Elisha prayed, verse 17, and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I don't know if this is where that movie came from of years ago, Chariots of Fire, but quite spectacular imagery, huh? They were compassed about, full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, by the senses, they were toast. They were mincemeat. But by God, he was protecting his man, Elisha. And so as a result, Elisha, walking by believing, by faith, could say, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he knew it. And now his servant knows it. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. He says this to the host of Syria. He said, they're blind, by the way. They've been blinded. This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them where? To Samaria. What a record. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. Now, this is not talking about their spiritual eyes. This is talking about their physical eyes, which are blinded. And the Lord opened their eyes, their physical eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Can you imagine? Man, this is a great host. This is a great army. Can you imagine? They're blinded. Now they followed Elisha into Samaria, and they didn't even know where they were. And they find out they're in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elijah when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Man, we've got them. You know, we can kill them. And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with a sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the hands of Syria, or the bands of Syria, came no more into the land of Israel. And what resulted here was great peace, where there had been warfare. Look at the prophet of Elisha walking with God. Look at the prophet of word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Look at the divine protection that God provided over this incredibly huge sense knowledge obstacle of a whole army going after one man. But when we read that verse 16, he said, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Well, it certainly included spiritual powers, didn't it? Angels, you know, things that the eyes, physical eyes, don't register. But behind the senses, behind what we see with our physical eyes, there's a spiritual battle going on. And this record and so much of the rest of the word represent that and describe it to us. That behind the scenes, we have God on our side. When I read this verse 16, I thought of Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who could be against us? That in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How about 1 John chapter 4, where it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, have overcome these evil spirits and their devices, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Now, it's easy for us to forget that and to be walking by our senses. But as we open this teaching. We walk by believing. We walk by believing God's word. And as you believe God's word, you're believing something that is sure, something that's reliable, something that isn't deceiving, something that is true, and certainly something that is very good. How about Hebrews chapter 11? This also came to mind. Talk about walk by believing and not by sight. How about Hebrews chapter 11, this great chronicle of the Old Testament? You know, you're reading through your Bible. If you've ever read the Bible from cover to cover and you get to Hebrews 11, it's kind of like a summary of many things that you read before. But it's all about believing, and it's believing in light of hope. It says in verse 1, now believing, faith, pistis, believing, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This word substance, I know, has been handled as title deed, and that's a wonderful legal reference that certainly applies here. But the word substance in the Greek, its basic meaning is ground or confidence. And a very wonderful, good translation of the word substance is the word foundation. Now, believing is the foundation of things hoped for. And the reason it's the foundation or the ground or the confidence is because believing comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. That's what believing is based on. Anything else that isn't based on the Word of God is not the biblical believing that we're reading about. I know people call things believing, and people believe a lot of different stuff, and that's true, but biblical believing is based on the Word of God. That's why we have the ground, the confidence, the foundation. It's sure, it's steadfast. You know, if someone gives you a promise, and this Bible is filled with God's promises, but if someone gives you a promise, it's based on the reliability of the trustworthiness of the promisor. Now, the reason believing is so fantastic, biblical believing, is because God is the promisor, and he is not a man that he should lie. His word is true. The foundation of God's word standeth sure. And so when you believe God, you are believing something that is sure. You can have utmost confidence, have an utmost foundation, and as a result, know that the things that you hope for, according to God's word, will also be brought to pass. And then it says, the evidence of things not seen. The word evidence means proof or conviction. It's the proof. Believing is the proof of things not seen. And now as you read through Hebrews chapter 11, there's record after record after record of the great things that Old Testament believers did by believing. And a thread is that they did it in light of the hope of Christ's coming, and they also did it with the confidence that even though the senses didn't indicate what they were believing, God's word is reliable. They had confidence in the word, the foundation of God's word. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good report through believing. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Isn't that how fantastic? It's we walk by believing, not by sight. The things that we see are made by things which do not appear. There's something behind it. You know, this is what led me to be a believer to begin with, was that I saw in the physical world that there was a design. I knew that this didn't just happen. I was taking science classes. I was studying different things. I knew that this was not a random thing of just, you know, random evolution or something, but there was a great design to the universe. And so if there was a design, there had to be a designer. And the designer you can't see. Like it says, the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. God is invisible, but he's behind all of creation. And the way that he framed all of creation is by the word of God. Remember back in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light, and there was what? Light, framed by the word. You know, God spoke it all into being. And then it goes on, so many records here in Hebrews 11. We're not going to read it tonight. We'll read a little bit of it, but you'll enjoy reading this because it talks about men and women that walked by believing, that weren't conditioned by the senses. In fact, in so many of these records, the senses were totally opposed to what they were believing. But when God said it, that settled it, and that was their conviction. That was their ground, their foundation, in which their actions were based. Look at verse 7, for example. By believing Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Why were they not seen as yet? Well, it hadn't rained on the earth. Remember, up to this point, just a mist had come up, but it hadn't rained upon the earth. But Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now remember, believing comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Here, Noah hearing the word of God is encapsulated in these words. He was being warned of God. See, that's what he believed. By believing, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of believing. See, a great record. Noah believed in something that hadn't yet been seen, something that humans hadn't experienced yet, rain. So he built a big boat, and it was right. People thought he was nuts. Verse 8, by believing, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By believing, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, by the way, the city that Abraham looked for hasn't come yet. What he looked for was very clearly this city. It's described in a few places here in Hebrews, but it's described in detail at the end of the book. He looked for the heavenly Jerusalem. You know, he believed and he hoped, and he hoped for Christ to come, and he hoped for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through believing also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of the child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Look at that. Sarah, you know, she'd been through menopause. She was 90 years old when she conceived. You know, you'd say it's impossible, but she didn't walk by sight. She walked by believing what God had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. You know, Abraham and Sarah were dead reproductively. There was no way that that promise that God had made could be fulfilled by sight. It was sense knowledge impossible, but yet they believed what God said, and God brought his word to pass. And again, there's so many other records. It says in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, that Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus Christ day. He looked for this city He was looking for the New Jerusalem. He also looked forward to the coming of Christ. He rejoiced to see his day. Look at verse 27 concerning Moses. It says, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king of the Pharaoh, for he endured as seeing him who is what? Invisible. That's it. When you believe God's word, you are believing one who is invisible, one who can't be seen. You know, you're not walking by sight. You're walking by believing the most sure thing in the whole world. The Bible is filled with God's promises. And as I've said many, many times, I'm convinced that there is a promise of God to meet every human need that will come up. Now, we are in a situation where a lot of people have needs. A lot of people have physical needs, but perhaps, or they have, need of healing. They have mental things, maybe have doubt and worry and fear. Well, what about what God has promised? Instead of being conditioned by the senses and walking by sight and getting all bummed out and discouraged, what about what God has promised? You know, what has he promised in terms of our liberty, in terms of our freedom? What has he promised in terms of divine protection? Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Just like Elisha knew and taught to his servant, we're in an even better situation than Elisha was in because Christ has come. And we have all the spiritual blessings that Christ has purchased. We have the gift of Holy Spirit born within. And we have the ability to operate additional manifestations than what Elijah could operate because we can speak in tongues, which is perfect prayer and praise to God. So we are in a tremendous situation. The future is as bright as the promises of God. And we need to look for those promises in the Word and then retain them and believe them, walk by believing. And not by sight. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful time that we can open the book once again and get together online and see some of the things that you are instructing us in. Father, we're thankful for the men and women that have gone before us, whether it be Elisha or Noah or Abraham or Moses or others that the Bible records. And we know, Father, there are people just like us, but that they believed you. And, Father, when people believe you, the great things occur. And, Father, we are wonderful believers in your sight, as you have said to us. And, Father, may we continue to walk by believing and not get tricked by the senses. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless you.